Word of Faith Ministries, establishing the kingdom of God and changing lives with the message of faith and the grace of Jesus Christ with a practical, biblical, and balanced teaching you can trust.
Okay, let's pray and thank the Lord. Father, we thank you. We give you the glory and the honor. We give you the honor, the praise, and the exaltation. And we bless you. Thank you for the light and revelation. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, before telling you where to go in the Bible, listen very closely to what I'm going to tell you. Today, I'm starting a new series, study series, for midweek services. I'm directed by the Lord, so I could tell you something in this moment, and then farther ahead, continue it on Sunday. Because I've learned to be directed by the Lord. When the Lord directs you to something, there shouldn't be a reason. Instead of saying, oh, why? There is no specific reason. But, so our study series is Teach Us How to Pray. But before going to the Bible, I'm going to clarify some things. Now, some of the things that I'll be speaking against, I want you to know that I also did them in the past. I also prayed in an incorrect way. I did not know many things I didn't understand, and God continued loving me. One, I did not lose my salvation. God did not send me to hell. But the results were not good. And the results were not the best. Amen. And I'm going to say some things, especially everything is recorded and then eventually is sent for television and for radio. So specifically in TV and radio, I have had many people from different Christian denominations, be it Catholic, Baptist, or any Pentecostal denomination. And they could have an idea of what prayer is. And I'll be as biblical as possible. And I'll tell you what I believe with all my heart, what prayer is according to my opinion, which is the correct one, I should clarify. I always make very religious people angry with that statement. But what I'm trying to say is I will bring clarity and I will say some things. And perhaps some people will feel uncomfortable because of it. And I don't think you will here at home. But I will go contrary to what many people believe. And I think you already know. When somebody speaks the word, although you show it with the Bible, when something comes contrary to your life, which is condemnations, and many Christians think that it's God, and God rebuked me, God condemned me. In reality, it's your own soul here in your mind, your will, your emotions. Your mind, because you have an idea, someone tells you contrary to it, and immediately you feel uncomfortable. But it's your soul that feels uncomfortable. Amen. But if you see something that's different, just change it as I did. So the results will be better. One of the things that I'll define, because tonight's subject, Jesus and prayer. What prayer is not, or what is not prayer. So when the Lord spoke of prayer in the Gospels, he started telling us what prayer isn't. But I'll tell you from now what prayer is, and then we'll see what the Lord said of what prayer isn't. But I'll start saying with this. According to the New Testament, prayer is communion and fellowship. Communion and fellowship. Communion and fellowship with the Creator. It's communication with the Creator. We could say that it is then communion, fellowship, communication with God the Father. So what's the difference? Perhaps I shall give an example of fellowship. Have you ever found people who you know who they are? Or perhaps one time they were friends in school, and then you find them perhaps in the street or in a store, and you greet them. Hey, how have you been? You give them a hug, ask for their parents. They ask for your parents or for your family. How you've been, what are you doing? And in 5, 6, 7 minutes, you said pretty much everything. And then after that, there's nothing else to say. Has that ever happened? Because there's not that. There's no fellowship there. That fellowship will give you confidence. Amen. One more time, as I said, this is not to attack anyone. But I come from churches, from two denominations that I'm going to guard from saying the name because it's not my point to criticize them. I have friends and family in Christ there. And I myself, when I was there, when they spoke of prayer, let's see if perhaps some of you also came from that. When they would say prayer or expressions in quote unquote praying to God. And it was the same as a petition. Prayer is asking God only. Amen. Thank you for your honesty. Same to me. But that way of thinking, with all due respect, is a very anti-biblical way, especially under the second covenant. Think about this. If you're a father or a mother and your children just come to you to ask you for things, and that's it, they just come and ask you for things for the rest of the day, they don't even talk to you. I don't know if that would please you. Would that please you? Of course not. Because there's only a convenience in that relationship. So without criticizing, without trying to attack anyone, the majority of a Christian is just when they pray to God, when they have issues. They just ask. And here's another issue. They ask incorrectly. They ask wrong. They don't even know how to pray. So that's dangerous. And that's very wrong. And actually, I'll say this. Again, everything that I'm saying, some of them, I'll prove them with the Bible. There are many Christians where it would be best if they did not pray. Yeah. Because the Bible says life and death are in the power of your tongue. And there are Christians that all they pray for is unbelief. All they pray is doubt. All they pray is contrary to the word of God. God, our Father, you understand. God loves you unconditionally. But not because God loves you. Look, God will not do this. God is not obligated to accept every single prayer of the people. God accepts you as child of God. But God is not obligated to accept everything that you give him or everything that comes out of your mouth. Because if it's contrary to his word, it's contrary to his will. So then why should he have to listen to those prayers? Neither people of the world nor of his own children. Now, not less the people of the world. God loves them, but he has no covenant with them. When you are born again, you become a member of the body of Christ, a son of God. You are a member, you are a citizen of the kingdom of God. But with all of that, God loves you unconditionally, regardless of your actions. God continues loving you because he sees you in Christ. He is not obligated then to receive every single word that comes out of your mouth, especially if those words are full of doubt and unbelief and fear. And because God does love you, eventually the Spirit of the Lord will correct you. As I said, years ago, I, being a Christian, preaching faith, speaking of faith, when it was about prayer, just remembering a few prayers that I did, they weren't right. And what the Lord does with his written word, or the Spirit of the Lord does, and I should also give honor to my mentors, they correct things. I giving honor to those in the body of Christ. The Lord will not receive words that are contrary. Now, let me give you an example of this. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to his prayers. Notice this. Can you see it? Verse 12. And his ears are open to his prayers. Any prayer? Is this any prayer? No. To all prayers? No. And 1,000 times no. One thing is that God loves us. Another thing is that there are prayers where God will always have to accept them. And actually, and here's another good point for us. Now, why am I speaking? Want me to tell you something else? Well, I'll tell you in a moment. The average Christian does not pray. Oh, and I was so kind and I'm already going to ruin it. I can assure you the grand majority of you do not pray. You think that praying is just throwing two or three words of faith or two or three tongues if it is that you pray in tongues. But the majority of you, I don't know why, I feel like you don't pray. How do you know? Again, what I'm going to say is not to criticize. But a man or a woman who spends time in prayer will be shown in their lives. A man or a woman who doesn't pray will be shown in their lives. A man or a woman who prays will be shown in their life, and he who doesn't pray will be shown as well. Because we live in such a busy world. We live in this time of ding, you know what that is? Or dings and buzzes. Notifications of your phone or vibrations of your phone, and the people are constantly there. How they live. Technology is good. It can be a blessing, but you have to know how to use it and where technology doesn't use you. And although I believe you can pray all day, it's urgent that a child of God make time to pray, be it in the morning, be it in the afternoon, be it at night. At least take an hour. I'm not making a doctrine here. There are people who make a doctrine out of this. When the Lord said, you cannot even spend time with me for 1 hour, the Lord did not make a doctrine out of it. He was saying, you could not even pray for 1 hour. Now, I can assure you, if you learn to pray easily in the morning or in the afternoons or at night, an hour can go by. But you have to let go of that ding and the buzz. Or not even be there with your phone. Because sometimes you can have your Bible. And it's good to have a Bible like that. A physical book. For example, on my phone and on my iPad, I have many dictionaries and other Bibles that I use. But I've disciplined myself to, regardless of what it is, what messages I get. And my phone, I constantly have it on silent. It doesn't even vibrate. It's just completely silent. Where if I end up that I have a message or something, I don't pay attention to it when I'm praying. Because if you truly think that God is the creator, you truly believe it, that God is the creator and he is the almighty God, that he is your father, he created you. I can assure you, if you truly believed it, there would be a holy fear in you. Amen. People think I say this just to say it, or just to make someone feel bad. But I'll tell you this. Thank the Lord, that when I started learning to pray and hearing from the Lord, years ago, I listened to these times that were to come, and how many youth, specifically youth, would not be important. The things of the Lord would not be important to them. But what happens is that parents do not listen. There are some parents that they let their kids do whatever. Some parents where it's best if their kids are in a sport than in church. And then something happens and they're crying and questioning and asking, why did this happen? Because first of all, they did not pray. And if they did, they would hear the warnings of the Lord. Many of the things that happen, and here's another thing that many people don't like. Many of the things that happen, that it's true, the devil will attack us. And I mentioned it on Sunday. We will have problems. But you'd be surprised the minimal amount of issues you will have when you learn to listen from God. The only issues you will have are provoked by the devil, and it'll be provoked by people, which is called persecution. But you, your own issues, you have very minimal, and you'll realize that it's because we don't hear from God. Financial issues, matrimonial issues, issues with our children are the three issues that we have the solution here. In other words, before they happen. For example, you are not responsible for what other people say or do unless you are provoking them. I'll give you an example. How many of you remember the issue that I told you with a person near my property because of a piece of land? That deal was with the previous owner and the father of this person. It started in what year? 1993. So I didn't even live here at that time. You understand? It was something completely unaware to me. Neither the person who gave us the property knew that that was there. You understand? So it was something that did not, that was not because of me. There are things that I say or do with the word of God. People tend to bother, they get mad, etc. So they will cause issues. But these are issues here at home with your family and your health. There are some things that you'd be surprised that just hearing from the Lord, how issues would diminish. Another example. I know people who work in construction. But they'll sometimes contract other people, but those people are irresponsible, don't arrive on time. And this other person told me, I had to let go about 6 or 8 people in a project that he had, fell behind, and he was about to lose it. It's not on him. But he did tell me this. I know that it wasn't me, but perhaps if I would have heard from the Lord, he would have told me, don't hire those people. You understand? So there are many things that you and I can reduce the issues of. Because one more time, it's very easy. Has a lot of complacency if I just tell you this. Don't worry, brother. We all have issues. We all have issues. And even I could tell you, if some of you say that you don't have issues, you're a liar then, and the liars are going to go to hell. Oh, yes, amen. Am I saying the truth? Well, I'm saying a half-truth. I have to clarify. We all have issues. But if we learn to hear from the Lord, our issues will reduce to very minimal amounts. I'm not saying that we won't have any, because we live in an imperfect fallen world and we have an enemy named Satan. And Satan influences the minds of the people of humanity, especially of his children, of heathens, of pagans. And they will come against you. And there are issues. But what I'm saying is, you'll be surprised of the amount that it will reduce to. I know some of you still struggle with this. I was going to say that on Sunday, I'm going to start a series titled Renewing Your Soul. You have to renew your soul in this, because if not, you'll stay in that level. That idea of, oh, Brother Hughes, we all have issues, is the same as saying we have to die of something. Or we have to get sick of something. Or I don't advance because of the economy. And if you stay there, then you know what? The word will not work for you, because you're conditioning the word to function only in certain times. For example, some people say, oh, I have to get sick. It's normal. It's the winter. So does that mean that the word doesn't work during winter time? That's what this is about. You have to change that way of thinking and stick to the word of God. But praying, basic. You know, one of the reasons why we should pray, the primary thing, the first thing, and I'm clarifying, because we're going to see in a moment what the Lord said, what prayer isn't. But to clarify, what did I say what prayer is? Communion, fellowship, communication with God. Has to do with the relationship with Him, with eternal life. Amen. God has given us a way of communicating with Him. That's the primary thing. It means reason number one and the most important. But I could give you another reason, apart from that, a second reason. Because things are changing. Haven't you noticed how things change? Don't you see politicians? They say one thing and after that, another stronger politician says something else. And then everything changes. You know what I'm referring to, right? Not to get into details. Everyone's super much, and then suddenly, when the time came, we're gonna do what you say. Well, if you already know that was gonna happen, you start saying things there on the open air. What I'm saying is that things are changing out there. Circumstances change out there. You do not know the workings of the devil that will come against you sometimes. So we need to hear from God. Hearing from God, maintaining yourselves in what we're listening to. And that's where faith comes into. Now there's another verse that I like to give in Proverbs. Let me see where it's at. I believe it's Proverbs 29. I said it backwards. It's 28:9. Thank you. One who turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. As we read in Peter, in other words, God accepts you. God loves you. Amen. But he's not obligated to receive everything that comes from your mouth. Amen. He's not obligated to receive it. Glory to God. Now, in Luke 11, verse 1. Now let's see what the Lord said. Now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, Jesus here praying, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. One more time. Why did he say it that way? Notice what the Bible says. That the Lord was praying in a place, and when he ceased, or when he finished, that means the disciples did not interrupt him. It's what I said a moment ago. People will interrupt you. Perhaps they don't know. Perhaps in that moment, they send you a message because they don't know what you're doing. They can't see you. But you are responsible. You will answer in that moment or not. I don't even see them. Brother Hughes, what if it's an emergency? I don't know about you, but I lived very comfortably without messages and without WhatsApp groups and without groups of Messenger and without groups of this and the other. Before 2007, I lived very comfortably. If it's an emergency, sooner or later I'll learn about it. And apart from that, I'm not God. If there's an emergency, I can't fix it. So, I dedicated myself to this. Why? Because if you truly hear from God and it's an emergency, you will have the tools on how to help. And when he ceased, he didn't interrupt him. And if you don't learn to take some time in the days, just some time, be it in the morning, be it in the afternoon, be it at night before going to sleep, you'll be surprised that an entire hour can go by. And what you heard from God in that hour, in the morning, at night, if it's in the morning, you can meditate on it throughout the day, and the Spirit of the Lord will give you more information, more revelation. Because again, every life is different. One more time. And this is not to boast. All of these pages that you see here are confessions. That the Spirit of the Lord, just praying, has spoken to for my personal life. Some of them for my life in the ministry, but in the majority, for my personal life, for my life in my family, with my children, with my wife. And there are others here for my life in the ministry. You'd be surprised if you learn to hear from God. It's life or death of hearing from God or not. Many Christians want to pray once the issue is already here. But how many of you know that it's best to prevent issues than want to fix it? And it's fine, God is merciful, God is good. But I don't know if you've noticed, sometimes things, terrible things happen. And people will say, why didn't God help me? Perhaps, why didn't you hear from God? Again, here comes another one. Boom for religion. They get mad, God bless them. There are things that if you keep sowing wrong for not hearing, there are things where God will not be able to help you anymore. Not because He doesn't want to, He won't be able to, because there's something called laws of sowing and reaping. And what you sow is what you will reap. It's not that God is mad with you. It's not that God is saying, oh, so you can learn, I won't help you here. No, don't have that image of God in you. God does not work that way with us. It's that He can't. Here comes another one that religion doesn't understand. But Brother Hughes, God can do all things. No, He can't. There are some things that He can't do. I say this and I'm surprised of the silence. So perturbing that there is. It's a very contrary. It's a very thunderous silence. I feel as if I were in another church. Normally that happens when I go to other churches. Great silence. And the silence is so dense that you can cut it with a knife. And you can let a pin drop and you'll hear it. And there are things that I've taught for years. But there are some things that when you hear something different, oh, God can do all things. God can do all things, but He needs your cooperation. Mark 6. So good. Especially if you like the word. Mark 6. Reading. Then He went out from there and came to His own country, and His disciples followed Him. Reading verse 1. 2. And when the Sabbath had come, He began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing Him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to Him, that such mighty works are performed by His hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? For those who say that Mary didn't have any children later. And are not his sisters here with us? But now, what is the minimum for something to be plural? At least two. If you see, mentioned four males and then two females, two sisters. So that's six apart from the Lord. And they were offended at Him. You know that word there means they were bothered by it. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. He could not do. Not saying that he couldn't. No, he could not do mighty work there. He couldn't. God can do all things, brother. Yeah, there's a condition if you respond in faith. Now, he could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. Why? And he marveled because of their unbelief. God can do all things. Well, yeah, I've sometimes heard people that I respect, preachers that I say, oh, God can do all things. And I say, yeah, amen. But inside of me, I know that there's a condition. If I respond in faith and in obedience, amen. And there are many of these. But another one, Ephesians 3:20. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all things we ask or think. Is that all the verse? Is that it? According to the power that works in us. That's the power of faith. Another way of saying, according to the power that works in us. Amen. So God can do all things. Don't get emotional when someone says, God can do all things. I'm not saying not to say amen. But understand. If God says He can do all things, it's because you don't give Him the opportunity. If you're not listening from God, if you don't, or if you hear and don't do what God is saying, And simply, he won't be able to do anything. You'll have him very limited. Amen. Now, I'm going to go back to where I was. Luke 11:1. Now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, when he sees that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, I'm going to explain this farther ahead, or perhaps in the next session. But as you know, this is what is known. Some call it our Father, the prayer of the disciples. It was not made, but it should be used as a vain repetition. Let's go somewhere else. I'm going to start saying this, what God said, what prayer isn't, and what we shouldn't do. And there are many groups or brothers in Christ all around the world who use it like this. That's how they pray. Is it wrong? Yes. Because it's not what the Lord called us to do. Actually, you have to understand, when the Lord said this, they were still under the law. This is a type of prayer, a different to a prayer under the New Testament. Why? Well, let's see. For how I said, I'm like the Lord, where I say something and people will be offended. But it's not my intention. My intention is to bring clarity and understanding. Notice in Matthew 6, well, I don't have to start reading in verse 5. Perhaps I'll read in chapter 5. From chapter 5, you're going to see what the Lord was telling us here was the motive. The motive of the heart. Another way of saying the intention of the heart. When the Lord was speaking here, he was teaching us in these verses the motive or the intention that there is. God sees the most profound part. Regardless of what we say, what we do, how nice it may look, God sees us on the inside and knows exactly what the motive is. Amen. And if the motive is not correct, although it may seem right before the eyes of the people and man, God does not receive it. So, God is not obligated to honor neither the actions or the words that we speak. Your motive is not correct. You understand? Why do I say this? Now, reading Matthew 5, one more time, the verses that we're going to read. And then I should also say, as you know, the Bible, when it was translated, there were neither chapters nor verses. So I'm going to start reading chapter 5 in some verses that I'll give you in a moment. But I'm going to continue reading up until chapter 6. Remember, when you read them, you have to read them with the context. What's the context? The motive of the heart. Amen? One more time. The motive, the intention of the heart. Chapter 5. You heard the instructions I gave you? One more time. Start chapter 5, certain verses. When I reach chapter 6, I'll continue reading part of chapter 6. But you have to read it with the context. The context of the Lord here was the heart. Your heart. What is your motive? Is your motive right before the eyes because you love the Lord and you love the people? Or what is your motive? To show off? Try to please someone? Or want to show the people that you have a lot of faith, that you have a lot of money, that you have a lot of this or that? Prayer will not work, and God will not receive any of that. And what you and I want is to always receive from God. Always. Chapter 5, verse 40. The motive. Start reading there. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. Now I know some of you are thinking, well, my God, I know some brother in Christ who always ask and never give anything back. What if they ask for the car? Remember, this is the motive, the intention here. But there are other things in the Bible that you have to understand. You have to be directed as well. You understand? But if you're going to do it, you're going to do it with the correct motive. You understand? And if God told you. You have heard that it was said, verse 43, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Between those Christians, they'll speak terribly of you. They'll speak wrong of you, misunderstand and criticize you, and say too much church, you're crazy, or things of the sort. They'll betray you. This is why you have to develop the love of God. You know a way of developing the love? Always think this way. Especially when another brother says, hey, you know, this brother in Christ behaves so terribly with you, regardless of how much you've blessed them and helped them. Look, remember one thing. Why? Of the motive. If you're going to help someone, it's because God told you. And if God told you, don't expect anything from that person. Don't expect anything. Expect everything from God. But don't expect from those people. If you give something to someone, don't expect something in exchange. Now, if that person wants to respond and wants to be thankful with you, it's already in the person. It's best to be that way. That means that person is mature. That means that person responds and loves God, and which is why he knows how to love you. But don't expect anything from the people, because you'll be disappointed. But if you expect everything from God, and you say, everything that I did it directed by the Lord, in the love of God, and it's the Lord that will recompense me. So therefore, no one will hurt you, and none of that nonsense of Christians to say, oh, that hurt me because he didn't send me a message on Christmas, or didn't tell me happy birthday or something. Well, you don't know what if that person forgot. Those people were very busy, or simply they just don't like you because they're cardinal, they're mad with you about something. Well, you don't know. I don't know tonight, right now, if people hear this eventually, be it television, radio, or something. With all my heart, my intention is to bring clarity and understanding. How many people I'm going to offend? I don't want to, but perhaps those people, the reason they'll get offended is because they'll misunderstand me. But it's not my purpose. Remember, I told you, God sees my heart and my intention as well. I did not come here to sit behind this pulpit with my Bible open. And when I was coming here to say, Lord, help me offend a couple 40 in the name of Jesus. Well, not my intention. Nor am I doing the possible, which is why I'm giving the best that I can to explain things. Not to justify myself, but so that people can understand. Verse 45, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun risen on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. That means that God put the opportunities for everyone. Amen. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren, only what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? You know why the Lord spoke of the tax collectors? You know who the tax collectors were? They were people who the Jews hated. You know why? Because they were Jews as well, but they worked for the Roman government. And the Roman government had Israel under its control at that time. And what happened was they would charge tax, but the Roman government would say, just charge them more. if the tax was perhaps two, they say charge them three or four. Just pay me two and keep the rest. Which is why the rest of the population hated them, because they saw them as traitors. You understand? That's what the tax collector was back then. Verse 48. Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men. Remember, the emphasis is what? The motive. To be seen by them. Otherwise you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Charitably, I say to you, they have their reward. You know why he said, sound a trumpet? Because that's what the Pharisees would do. They were going to give a charitable deed. They'd blow a trumpet so that people would realize what they were doing, and their motive was incorrect. You understand? You understand your motive? I just said a moment ago. And we just read in verse 1. You shall have no reward from your Father in heaven. What you want is to truly receive from God. Amen. Verse 2. Therefore, when you do a charitable... Oh, I already read verse 2. 3. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. It isn't about politics. This is literally have a honest heart. That your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. Now, in verse 2, therefore when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues. This was to the Pharisees. One of the things that the Lord did was he wasn't talking behind their back. He would tell it in front of their face. He wasn't a hypocrite. Now, I know I have to explain, because perhaps some of you are very rowdy, not saying go and tell someone, your brother in Christ, so you can see, and then you're fighting with them. No. I mean, some of you eat a fighting rooster for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. As the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Now, assuredly, I say to you, they have the reward. You know what that reward is? You know what that reward is? It's that. The man will glorify you. Oh, how nice. How charitable. You'll receive two or three pats on the back, and that's your reward. You want that? No, you won't live off of that. I want blessing after blessing from God. Amen. And when you stand on the word, as I said in the beginning, when issues come, be it of persecution. I'll tell you this, brothers and sisters. Speaking of persecution, because you stand firm in what you speak and believe. If you're not going against the devil, you're in the same root as he is. As I said, don't be saying things to provoke something. I don't teach what I speak of politics on kingdom and government just to provoke criticism, but to make he who wants to understand, because it's very terrible to be a believer in Christ and be supporting those weird doctrines of the left and socialism. Very terrible. It shows of a very ignorant and very low instructed in the word, especially if you're in a church that they teach and you can continue promoting it. That's even more terrible. You give terrible testimony. Now, people think it's not important, but it is. There are other Christians who just receive blessing every once in a while over there. They give a testimony here, there, and after 3 years, they give another. And they say, God provided. How long ago? 2 years ago. Well, yeah. Every blind squirrel can grab a nut every once in a while. But your life has to be supernatural every day. Every day you have to experience the peace of God. Health in your body, glory to God. And if you ended up getting sick of something for some reason, because you didn't take care of yourself, perhaps you still have deep in your soul that idea that, oh, well, I have to get sick. Because, well, I don't know, your mom had asthma every once in a while and you inherited it. Or something of the sort. I don't know, someone from your family, it's genetic. No. Although it's true, that's in the natural. Perhaps it's true. Now you have the gene of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have the sperm of God in you. You have the seed of God in you. And by His stripes you were healed. Glory to God. Amen. Verse 5. And when you pray, amen, as I said, what Jesus said not to do, what is in prayer. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Again, not meaning that we shouldn't pray perhaps publicly here in the church or in the street when we pray for someone. Again, what's the motive? Only you will know. You don't even need revelation. Just, oh, God, reveal it to me. No, you'll know. Amen. 6. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Again, there are millions and millions of Christians on this earth, including Christians that go to churches and actually other pagan religions where they pray. You know that there are prayers that they do. Do not use names. I don't want it to sound critical. I'm not criticizing. But there are many pagan prayers that they pray to their gods. So praying does not impress God. Just praying to pray, that doesn't impress God. I've gone to churches to pray for more than 19 years in different cities, states of the United States. And always, does not fail, at least one or two brothers in Christ that come and greet me, and then they ask, Brother Hughes, pray for me. And I say, for what? Why? What do you need? Well, nothing, just pray for me. It's just say some words there. And the Lord here prohibits it. What's the motive of praying? Just vain words? Why should I pray for you? Just to pray so you can feel nice? For what? That's what religion does. Don't seek to pray just to pray. First of all, develop that relationship with God. How, Brother Hughes? Continue coming and I'll show you how. And right here, when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. 8. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have heard of before you ask Him. That means that when you already come very religiously, when you start closing your eyes like a goat halfway dead, and oh, hallelujah, and the Lord, here He comes with His words again. If you were here to hear God, Son, I love you, but cut it off already. Cut it off. When you pray to God in respect with love. He's a person. He's not a human being, but He's a person. You understand the difference? I hope you do. And that's why He gave us the Holy Spirit. In the moment you don't know what to say, start praying in other tongues. And just start saying how good He is. Forget about asking for things. Just praise Him. Bless Him. How? I bless you, Lord. I bless you. I bless you, Lord. I bless you. No, not like that. Amen. Dear Christian, oh, I bless you. I bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. I bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. Oh, hallelujah, I bless you. God detests that. Go to God, your Father, in love. Start telling Him how good He is, how good He has been. Start thanking Him for everything that He has given you in that moment. And start letting Him be the one who incites the word here, or which words to say you. While it comes, you will make confessions, you'll pray in tongues, perhaps you'll pray for someone. But don't start that way. That's how the average Christian starts. Haven't you ever seen in the churches? They said, I've been to churches where they'll say something and then they start praying and just petitions after, and they start praying weirdly and start twitching as if they're being attacked. They move their face weirdly, or the voices, they change their voices so surprisingly. A Persian one time greeted me and, oh, how are you, brother? And I was, the praise and worship was about to start in a church. It was about to start and I was in the seat up front. And, oh, how are you? Oh, it's good to see you. Oh, how is Nubia? How are your children? Oh, very good. They were much younger back then. And, okay, we're about to start. It's good to see you. I went to my place. He grabbed the microphone and then suddenly, oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Very religiously. And his voice changed and I thought, wasn't he just talking to me a moment ago? Why do we have to talk like this? You think? Oh, yes, Lord, yes. Yes, hallelujah. Who are you going to impress with that? I say it just to make you react and realize, again, I did something like that. That's what I would hear other people say as well. And I assume that's the way that I had to do it. Now, God bless all those people in Christ, all those who are in heaven, but they just didn't know how to pray for those sisters. And others, by the grace of God, they're still alive, by the pure mercy of God. One time, I was in line, and the service was about to start, and a couple songs, that it was everything except worship to God, and then suddenly, the sister was greeting someone. Oh, yes, how are you, sister? Oh, it's good. It's good to see you. And then suddenly, oh, glory to God. And she just started crying. And I said, wow, how tremendous. And I felt condemned because I thought that I was a very insensible to God. And she was very spiritual. And I said, what? How do you do it? Lord, I'm a perverse heathen saved by grace. This is when I didn't understand who I was in Christ. Give me an opportunity here. Have some mercy on me. Don't pray like that. But that's how I was praying. Lord, I know. Look at how you were willing to save me. I'm a sinner saved by grace. What nonsense, right? I told you I would say that. Or either you're a sinner, you're saved by grace. You can't be both. Amen. You know what I did? When I saw this sister crying and this other brother crying and his wife and everyone was crying and I was there, I said, oh, I'm so harsh. How perverse I am. And really, with the heel of my boot, I kicked myself in the shin and then two tears came out. I did weird things and I warned you at the beginning. As I said, I did things, I said things, but praise the Lord, He loved me, He was merciful. But that's what happened. But thank the Lord for His freedom. And that's part of what I will be touching on Sunday. Oh, thank you. A pastor friend of ours over in Texas. And he called them spatial prayers because that's all they go to just to space. Glory to God. Amen. Go ahead, my sister.
Ahorita nuestro
our pastor mentioned a moment ago, that in our tongue is the power of life and of death. That means then that we have to be careful with the words that come out of our mouth. We know that God gives us seed to sow, and we sow. But what comes next? And we have to know, because in that part, we'll forget and lose ourselves.
We start thinking, God gave us the seed, and because we sowed, we're going to see harvest, and we're in the wrong. Because what comes next from there is to take care of the words that come from our mouths. Because death, how our pastor just said, represents lack of faith. So when we sow, and we begin to speak doubt, imagine we're just drowning our seed and just throwing it away. So imagine the Lord is saying, be careful on what comes out from your mouth. On Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And the tongue, in James 3, verse 8, that our tongue is full of mortal venom. So we're not careful on what we speak, and the seed that we have sown, we're putting venom on it. And venom kills. It finishes with what is sown. So when we speak doubt and I don't have any, maybe somebody has mercy on me and gives me a dollar, we're putting venom to that seed that we used when we put on our envelopes, we put what we're believing for in our verse, what we're basing ourselves in. And when we speak doubt, that seed won't come back with the results. And James 3 says that our tongue is full of mortal venom. And with it, we bless the God our Father, and with it, we curse the men who have made in similitude. So he's saying, be careful after sowing with the words you speak. And of that, we need to be careful, because we've sown, and the word says that tongue has a power of sowing. Do we destruct or do we construct? And with it, we bless the Lord. And we make confession of tithes and offerings. And when we leave this place, or maybe tomorrow when we get up, what is it that we are speaking? And God cannot be put to shame. We cannot mock him, because what we sow is what we harvest. And he said, I'm going to provide, I'm going to give you, and I'm going to bless you. And he gave his word to supply all our needs. He said it. But what are we saying? And that's what the Lord is trying to have us understand, that we need to be alert of what we are speaking. And the Bible says in Ephesians 4:29, he tells us why we need to be careful in what comes from our mouth. Ephesians 4:29, Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers, to your seed, something that edifies it, something that is in line with the word, with what you and I are believing that the Lord provides. God gives. He brings the multiplication and brings that harvest. So he says that no word, no corrupt word. When he says no corrupt words, it's anything that is not the word of God. So no corrupt words from our mouth. Now what? Verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And that means that corrupt words grieve the Holy Spirit. And if we are speaking ill, then we are grieving the Holy Spirit. And if the Holy and the Holy Spirit is the manifester, He gives the order of what needs to be manifested, of the harvest, of what He has given us in His word, the blessing. But the Holy Spirit is the one that manifests it. And if the Holy Spirit is grieving, He can't be a manifester. And why does He grieve? Of the corrupt words that come from our mouths. So then on Ephesians 4, verse 31, He gives us that advice for the Holy Spirit not to be grieving for the corrupt words that come from our mouths over the seed we cast. He says that all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from all malice. It says bitterness. Bitterness has a voice. A voice that is bitter is always speaking ill. And a person that is angry or wrath because they don't have enough money and see the manifestation, they're going to speak ill. So, anger makes us speak bad. From what we are believing, I sowed and He's going to provide. So, He wants us to remove all those things that make us speak corruptly, because it doesn't matter if we sow and we believe that He gives us the multiplication, we are burning what we are sowing because we're casting out more doubt than fear. Amen. Lord, I give you thanks for this evening. I give you thanks for the manifestation of the power, supernatural power, that comes over those that we believe who sow. And when we begin to be careful so that our tongue doesn't cast out bad or ill, corrupt words. Your word says that he who believes is not put to shame. And I believe that those windows that are opened on those who are going to tithe this evening, that they see the supernatural, and not only seeing the windows of the heaven are open and you cast out the evil, but something that's tangible and that we can see, that tither sees it, and that we see that supernatural manifestation. And those of us who are sowing, we see that multiplication because you are the God of multiplication. I give thanks for that manifestation in the name of Jesus.
Were you ministered and were you fed with the word of God? Then we give you the opportunity do so online tonight, or in this day, or whenever you are listening to us. The Word of God says in Galatians 6, verse 6 and 7, let him who is taught the Word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. In those same verses, but in the New Living Translation, those who are taught the word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. So in this case, we are speaking of Word of Faith Ministries, which teaches you the Word. Now, verse 7, New Living Translation, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. So when a person is constantly fed with the Word of God, they should respond. Why? Because it is good for you. This is good for you. This is good for you yourself, because when you sow the Word out of thankfulness, then you will reap. And at the same time, you help us, or you help that person who is being fed, in this case, from Word of Faith Ministries, to be taken farther. If Word of Faith Ministries does not feed you spiritually, then pray to the Lord to direct you or someone else and to another ministry to where you can be fed. But from where you are fed, the honorable is that you sow in that Word. The Bible says that God gives to the sower. There is no such thing as, oh, I don't have or I can't. That's true. The Bible says that God gives seed to the sower and bread for food. So if you start believing by faith, the laws of faith are, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I ask seed to sow. I believe that I receive it, and thank you for it. And from then on, every single day, thank you, Father, that you give me seed to sow. Miraculously, God will provide seed. We've lived it for those who believe in this. We've lived it time and time again. And we've experienced it time and time again. Time again. I agree with you in this day, in the moment of sowing. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I thank you for those who will participate in sowing and reaping. I call an abundant harvest, a hundredfold return. We believe we receive this in agreement in prayer. Thank you. Thank you that your word is true, and thank you that we see prosperity in the lives of your children, in those who will sow, in those who will give. In this moment, we thank you, and we agree, and you know what? Nothing. You will lack nothing, and not only you will lack nothing, you will come out of debt. Not only will you come out of debt, you will prosper in the way of God. You will prosper according to the way of God. When that harvest comes now, be wise, seek wisdom. Don't spend. Get out of debt. God wants you free of debt, and He wants you very prosperous to finance the gospel of the kingdom. God bless you greatly.
We hope you have enjoyed today's teaching brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries. For more information about our ministry, contact us at 480-458-8618 or visit our website, mpfccc.org.
Be the first to be notified of our latest streamings by subscribing to our YouTube channel, Word of Faith Ministries. Don't forget to like, comment, and share.